Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter with the Mercury News, joined today by Charles T. Hamilton for another edition of Target Tuesday. Every Tuesday, Charles will join me to break down an offseason target for the Warriors, ranging from draft prospects, trade targets, and free agents. Last week, we scouted Anthony Edwards, and this week, we are sticking with the draft and breaking down the pros and cons of LaMelo Ball's game. Charles, let's start with LaMelo's strengths. What sticks out to you?
Well, what his main strength that sticks out to me is the fact that he's 6'7", 6'10", wingspan. He's built like a small forward, basically, but is a point guard. There's no doubt about it. There's no, it's not like Ben Simmons. Well, there might be some similarities, but Ben Simmons is probably better suited as a four or five, where LaMelo Ball, he's a point guard. There's no question about it. His ball handling, his passing are NBA ready. That's for sure. You especially when you're picking in the top three, you're looking for things that can immediately translate. And he has that. I mentioned his size, his ball handling. There's some projection on whether he can be, his jump shot can get better or not. Some people believe it, some don't, but we'll go with the positive that there's enough there that people believe the jumper can be fixed, so to speak. I don't know if it's broken right now, but it's not his main strength. And with that size that I mentioned, the tools and talent, ability, athletic ability are there to be a good defender as well. Again, whether he is that now remains to be seen, but the bottom line is the talent is there. And that's why he's looked at as a top three, potentially top one pick.
Yeah, and that's why he's number one on so many boards. It's not that I don't know if I've talked to anybody at all that thinks he's the best player in the draft on day one. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody is saying that. But what a lot of people believe and why so many people have him number one on their board is they believe of all the players in this draft, he has the most upside, the greatest potential to be a multi-time all-star type player. Maybe not a top 10 level player, but if you're going to build your team around one person in this draft, he might be the guy. Because what you get with LaMelo Ball is at least an organizing principle, right? Mm-hmm. You get him as your point guard. He's, like you said, an elite genius level passer. The YouTube highlights of him, you just see it from there. Like this guy's a genius level playmaker with not only like flashy passing, but his ball placement, his touch. I mean, he's delivering passes into the shooting pocket of guys. You can easily see him just running off of a screen, curling from around the rim and kicking out to wide open shooters beyond the arc. And so, like I said, the organizing principle, if you're a team that's building around one of these guys, you put him at point guard, surround him with shooting, and boom, you've got an offense right there. And especially if you got guys who can run the floor, and now you've got LaMelo Ball with these incredible outlet passes and stuff. I mean, you look at what Lonzo Ball is able to do, and it's similar as far as what they're able, as far as their court vision. It's elite, all right? It's elite. And then you mentioned the defense there. That's really where it comes in. He can come in and just be an organizer on offense right away. But if he can hit that ceiling defensively, and look, he's quick, right? Like, he's got lateral quickness. He's big, like you said, great wingspan. You could picture his body switching onto wings and doing all these other things. Like if he can develop into a plus defender, I mean, this is a guy with the makings of an all, like at least physically, of an all NBA level defensive player. He just needs to put it together. He's 19 years old, and I think the bet would be that he could put that together.
Yeah, body type. It's you know, prototype of a NBA defender, an NBA wing. The bonus is that he's a legitimate point guard. You're not trying to squeeze him into that point guard position. That's what he is. And one thing that kind of goes overlooked is the fact he's a great rebounder. And that's a nice thing to see in a guy who's 6'7" playing the point guard position, because, you know, as much as we love Klay Thompson, I would like it if he was a better rebounder. Harrison Barnes, a guy his size should be a much better rebounder. So when you get a guy that's 6'7" and pulled down, 7.5 rebounds per game over in, for the Hawks, Illawarra Hawks, you know, a pro league against grown men, he's a legit rebounder. Now, is that the main thing you want out of your point guard? No, but it's a nice addition that he's able to do that, especially on a team, potentially like the Warriors, who aren't great at rebounding. So,
no, you look at like you mentioned there. You mentioned Ben Simmons before. You could throw in another name like a Russell Westbrook as far as There's been comparisons to Luka Doncic as far as his body type and his ability to fill the box score. This is a guy who last year in the NBL, like you mentioned, it's a pro league. He is going against adults, and he is not yet. He's basically putting up 17-7-7 every night, 17-8-7 with the rebounds. That's production. And whether or not you could talk about the efficiency numbers, what we'll get to in the next segment and stuff like that, there's things that are worrisome here. This is the pros. This is the strength segment. So not to be too bullish on him.
Yeah.
But if he is producing at that age, that is at least something. And it's honestly in this draft more than a lot of guys could say. I mean, not a lot of players in this draft have been super productive in a meaningful way. LaMelo, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but you could argue that he has. You could also argue that he hasn't really been that productive in a meaningful way. We'll get to that next when we talk about LaMelo Ball's weaknesses. But first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now, while you may not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily instead online at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, or if you're a do-it-yourselfer or a complete professional, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Without the markup that you find at chain stores, you're not going to get taken advantage of. On the website, rockauto.com, you get the same price no matter what. So go there, rockauto.com, right now, and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Again, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that you are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Charles, we talked about LaMelo Ball's strengths, right? The passing, the floor vision, the ability to get rebounds and assists along with points because he is a willing shooter. But then there's the obvious and glaring weaknesses here, right? And I mentioned toward the end of the last segment, the efficiency numbers, they're problematic, right? Yes, he's averaging basically 17-7-7, but it takes him damn near 17 shots to get 17 points per game.
Yeah,
it doesn't look great. He's like last year in the NBL, he was shooting 38.9% overall. And then I know you love 3-point shooting. That's mm-hmm. not a thing that he does well, but it is a thing that he tries to do often. He
does a lot of it.
He's shooting 28% on nearly 7 3-point attempts per game, which is just bad. And he's only a 70% free throw shooter. He's not shown at any level to be an efficient shooter, let alone have good decision making with his shot. Those are problems.
Major problems. They're more like inefficiency numbers. Thank you. That is the glaring hole. And also some of the other things we talked about with his potential is that's all it is. His defensive potential is there, but trust me, it's not there right now. He's not someone you want on an island with anyone in the NBA right now, I don't think. So that's part of it. And man, those numbers are awful. I mean, they're just awful. And one of the other things is you're looking at it and saying, well, how does a guy shooting, 38% get 17 shots a game? It's because he had the run of the place in Australia. They let him do whatever he wanted because he was a name. He was a draw for them and they were allowing it. You know, I'm surprised that one of the grown men on that team didn't, go after him or something or get completely sick of playing with him because he did whatever he wanted. We talked about the talent and the things that he can do, but man, it was just, it's just bad. That jumper does not look good. It's reminiscent of Lonzo's coming out where, kind of this around the world jumper that he has where he goes from one side to the other. It just doesn't look great. And it's a project. It's a major project. I'm not saying these things can't be fixed, but they're not going to be fixed in year one and definitely not by the time he comes in. So it's, those are the knocks. And
well,
you know what?
Go ahead.
Let me get yours because this is a, I want to get into something else that is completely different. So go ahead, hit me with the inefficiency.
Well, you mentioned there that he had the run of the place with his Hawks team, the Illawarra Hawks, right? There are 9 teams in the NBL. They were 9th in the NBL standings. So you basically handed the keys to LaMelo Ball, and you won 28 games you played. They went 5-23 last year. Okay, not great. And that's why I talked about last year, or at the top, or in the first segment. There is a proven production, but it's not necessarily the proven production that you want, right? I mean, yeah, 17-7-7, but he needed 17 shots per game to get 17 points. He's not going to get that at the NBA, which is also why I said, if you bring him in, you have an organizing principle, but you can only, like, you're also limited to that, right? You're also limited to playing LaMelo in that context. I don't know that he's going to be able to walk in right away and be this off-ball player, be this, you know, high-level defender and all these things. He just has never shown the ability to do that, right? He doesn't have the track record for it. And so if you're the Warriors, can you play him off the ball? I don't know. You would like to think somebody with that sort of floor vision, right, could just easily develop into an off-ball cutter. That makes sense, right? But and look, he's shown flashes of that. It's not to say that he hasn't. If anything, that's probably going to be wherever he gets going. When he's not on the ball, he's going to thrive not as a three-point shooter spacing the floor, but he's going to have to threaten defenses with the or pressure defenses with the threat of him cutting to the basket. If you could be like an Andrew Wiggins type cutter, then you've really got something there, I think. But otherwise, I just don't know where on the floor you put him, because like you at least like to say, all right, he comes in, you can hang, like maybe like he's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's a good finisher in the case of like an Anthony Edwards, right, who we talked about last week. Okay, the 3-point shot isn't necessarily there. You have questions that are similar to LaMelo as far as his decision-making, his shot selection, right? But at least at the end of the day, Anthony Edwards is going to use his 220-pound frame, throw a shoulder into somebody, and finish at the rim. LaMelo, he's ambidextrous. He could finish with both hands, again, theoretically, but he doesn't do it well. And I just don't know where on the floor like his bread and butter is going to be. And that could be really hard for a rookie who doesn't have that. It could be hard for a player like that to find his place in an NBA offense, again, if he's not the guy always with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and you talked about Anthony Edwards' physicality. LaMelo Ball does not have that. He doesn't have the same body type. He does not
will not finish to anybody. No, exactly. He's averaging less than 4 free throw attempts per game last year. That's not good.
Yeah, so that's the glaring, glaring hole. And you could make the argument for a team that wants to take him that you're taking him, and then you're building around him and getting as many shooters as possible and letting him develop and all that stuff. And he could, like we said, the talent is there, but you're drafting on potential. If that's your pick, you're drafting on, he could become this in year 3, year 4, not right.
And one more point to sort of underscore that. I mean, we talk about James Wiseman as far as a small sample size, but LaMelo Ball, I know that he's played, like people say, oh, he's played professionally and things. And I think that leads people to think that he has some large sample size. This is a guy that's played 21 games and 500 minutes total in 2 years. You compare that with, again, Anthony Edwards, who's basically played twice that in 1 year at Georgia. And you could argue that even SEC basketball is of a higher competition than the NBL.
Yeah.
So
One last thing.
That wasn't great. Go ahead.
It's not. It's tiny. And, you know, he has this following that is insane in my mind. Mm-hmm. And that is another thing that you have to bring up. I wish it was just on the court. But you have to bring up LeVar. You have to mention it. Because if he's going to be the LeVar that we saw, or LaMelo's going to allow him to do that, so to speak, that, you know, he was with Lonzo in his first his rookie year and year two, his entire time with the Lakers, basically, that's the last thing the Warriors want. I mean, it's the last thing I want, regardless of where he goes. I find it incredibly annoying and kind of sad, honestly, but the Warriors don't want that. And I know I'm kind of going to the next thing, but the Warriors don't want it. I don't know what team would.
And you look at a guy like LaMelo versus his older brother, Lonzo, and you don't want to keep falling back on it, but it does matter. The family thing does matter. And look, it's a good, like, Lonzo is a good comparison for the best version of LaMelo Ball, right? It's like, if LaMelo Ball comes in and hits his ceiling defensively and can develop that jumper and can be this passer, then you've got Lonzo Ball, and that's a really good player. New Orleans has a really good player in Lonzo Ball right now, but you do deal with the LeVar thing. And look, you and they are so in the spotlight that it does feel like we know LaMelo Ball a little bit. We've seen so many interviews with him and all these things, in addition to his interviews with Lonzo. And you listen to Lonzo Ball talk, man, and he just seems like the older brother, right? Like, he seems like the more mature one. He seems like he's kind of got this under control, and he knows how to handle his dad and sort of manage up to his father and all these things. I don't get that sense with LaMelo Ball.
Not yet.
I don't. When you watch him sit down in these interviews, he just doesn't seem like to have it together the way Lonzo does, and that could be very problematic when you're starting to deal with LeVar. Not to mention, too, that LaMelo is like this next chance for LeVar, so you could get this whole other LeVar Ball comeback, right? Because he hasn't been around for a while. Mm-hmm. But if LaMelo gets drafted number one or two or three or whatever, you bet LeVar is going to be involved in some aspect in the media at least. So it is an issue, I think. I think when teams sit down to interview LaMelo, it's going to be a point that they bring up.
No question.
We'll talk about how LaMelo would fit on the Warriors next. This is Locked On Warriors. If you haven't subscribed to Locked On Warriors already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button. We've talked through LaMelo's game. Charles, do you think he would be a good choice, if he were there for the Warriors at the number two pick?
As diplomatically as possible, no. Again, his talent's there, all that stuff. There's so many reasons why it's not a good fit, though, for this Warriors team. You still have Steph and Klay and Draymond. Draymond and LaMelo Ball on the floor at the same time would not work, period. They're a little redundant as far as LaMelo Ball needing the ball in his hands. Same thing with Draymond. Neither of them are great shooters. I mean, that's the crazy part. Draymond's right now a better shooter than LaMelo Ball. I just do not see it fit.
That's not
fitting. It's not very good. It's not a fit right now. If this was 5 years later, where Steph and Klay are more towards the end of their careers and looked at more as just floor spacers, then sure. But right now, it's not what they need. LaMelo Ball is a project. He's going to take a while to develop. And that's also what the Warriors don't need. They want to get someone that can contribute right away, potentially become the next superstar, but at the very least be a rotation player that they can trust in these next couple of years trying to win more championships. And that's not him.
I think that if LaMelo Ball were there at number two for the Warriors, that would be the best case scenario for them possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't take LaMelo. And I say that because if LaMelo is there at number two, you could easily see a team like Detroit or New York or whatever other team maybe trying to move up in a way that they wouldn't do that for an Anthony Edwards, right?
Yep.
So, you know, you can argue that if he were there at number two, that would be great so that the Warriors now have some leverage in order to trade down and actually pick up some assets, if indeed they wanted to trade down. As far as the on-court fit, LaMelo Ball doesn't make any sense for the Warriors. I have no indication from the Warriors that they even really have him high on their board. I know that they've interviewed him. I know that they have scouted him as much as they possibly can. He doesn't make sense for all the things that you said. It doesn't sound like they disagree with anything that we're saying here on this podcast. Yeah. So, look, the other part of it too is, does he have the highest ceiling? You could argue that he does. I don't think he does, personally. He just seems a little old school for me. If Jason Kidd is a Hall of Fame talent. He wouldn't be Jason Kidd in today's game, right? Like, he wouldn't have had the career that he did. You just can't really get away with not being able to shoot until you're 35 years old. You just can't get away with that anymore.
No.
So with LaMelo, maybe you can do – if you're a team that can afford this to just sort of pay your dues with him for a couple of years and say, you know what, go out there. If you are willing to shoot a little bit more than Ben Simmons, then maybe that three-point shot comes along and we get a really good player out of you. But the Warriors can't afford that, right? And so if he can't shoot and he can't cut and he can't finish and he can't defend even his own position, let alone several, then he's not going to be able to play very many minutes alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, then when are you getting on the floor to develop? And that, to me, so he may have that higher ceiling, but he might not ever develop into that on Golden State, despite Golden State doing a good job developing players historically. So, or at least last year. LaMelo's not going to turn into an all-star playing 10 minutes a game off the bench, is basically what I'm saying. And the Warriors when you look at who they need to draft, they need to get a guy, like you said, who can contribute immediately, get on the floor for 20, 22 minutes a game, and then, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, play 30 minutes per game at an all-star level. That, to me, is the best-case scenario, and I just don't see the path for that with LaMelo.
And here's another thing, too. You know, tell me if I'm wrong. I look at the numbers that LaMelo had last year, and then I look at Jordan Poole's numbers. Very similar. I think they're both redundant players as well, where, okay, LaMelo, what would your role be if you got drafted to the Warriors? You would be that potentially backup point guard, secondary ball handler who we're hoping can make a shot. I mean, that's Jordan Poole right now. I know you and I both like Jordan Poole and his ball handling, but I'm just saying that, again, the role isn't quite there for him. And don't get me wrong, LaMelo does enough well that he's going to have an NBA career.
Yes.
I just don't think it's a top three pick NBA career. That's kind of where I'm at. And just the Warriors.
Yeah, and look, I talked to...
You can't waste it on a player like this in their position.
You're right. And I talked to Chad Ford, a few months ago, and he is so high on LaMelo, right? Like, he is number one, and he says his floor is the highest at anybody in the league, and it depends on what you think that floor is. If you think his floor is starting point guard, then yeah, he's probably one of the top players in your draft. I think his floor is backup point guard, and he could be a backup point guard for a long time, but that's a very different thing now that we're talking about, right? Backup point guard versus starting point guard. And that's just not enough for the Warriors. You don't want to draft your backup point guard, especially if your backup point guard is a guy who hasn't proven to do anything defensively.
Now, I think that's a good point.
Right.
Where, as far as today's NBA, it's almost philosophy based. Where Chad Ford says starting point guard, I think if starting point guard needs to be able to shoot a little bit in today's NBA. If you could build an offensive around him, sure. But I'm with you. I think the floor is backup point guard, which is, again, valuable. He'll have a long career, make a ton of money, but we're just banking on so many things happening, him getting better at so many different things, where it's just not the right move for the Warriors. A team like the Knicks, maybe?
Yeah.
Warriors, no.
And you know what's funny is these top three guys, when we talk about Edwards, LaMelo, and then James Wiseman, who we'll do at some point a breakdown like this, it's pretty polarizing when it comes down to Anthony Edwards and Wiseman, right? Like, you've got Warriors fans saying, we need Wiseman. You've got other ones that say, don't touch him.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for Anthony Edwards. And look, I know that there's Warriors fans out there who want LaMelo Ball, but largely, it sounds like a majority, at least to me, in my emails and Twitter comments. I don't know about you, but it doesn't really seem like LaMelo's got a whole lot of backers by Warriors fans here with the number two pick. Despite, like, what you said before, he's got, like, this... He's almost got like a fan page, right? Like it's just got throngs of fans across the world, basically, and none of them seem to be based in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's like a YouTube cult following, which is something that can be a positive for Zion Williamson and maybe a negative for LaMelo Ball. It's kind of this weird new world we live in, where sick highlights on YouTube, but then you look at the efficiency and it's, well, okay, anyone can put highlights on YouTube. Anyone can put their six makes out of their 17 shots in a highlight reel. So, yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I haven't heard a ton of people, or at least, hardcore Warrior fans that are, thinking LaMelo Ball no matter what.
No, and the Warriors are high on the point guard class this year, but I don't think it's because of LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Agreed. And he might be number one on a lot of boards overall. I don't even think he's the number one point guard for the Warriors in this draft class.
That's true.
Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thank you to Rock Auto for sponsoring today's episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening, and stay safe.